Okay, so welcome back to the Stoppage Time podcast with myself, Ethan Morland, and today we're talking Champions League football, and for me, it's just getting up at 5 in the morning to watch a performance like that is just ridiculous. But yeah, so Napoli destroy Liverpool, absolutely walk all over them. Real Madrid get a win against Celtic. Dortmund beat Copenhagen, Chelsea beaten by Dynamo Zagreb, with Tuchel sacked the next day, which was an absolute madness. PSG beat Juventus in their first competitive fixture in the Champions League. Barcelona walk away with it against Victoria Pilsen. Atletico win it in added time with all 3 goals in that game coming in stoppage time. Griezmann getting the goal. Tottenham beating 10-man Marseille 2-0. Ajax walking all over Rangers. We love to see that. And Bayern beating Inter of the results, which are probably of most note. Actually, it's probably worth saying, talking about Shakhtar Donetsk as well, given their situation, but we'll get into that in a bit. Then, yeah, obviously City beating Sevilla, which I think everyone expected. And Sporting pretty comfortably beating Eintracht Frankfurt. I think the best place to go is to start is Celtic against Rangers, given it was one of the first fixtures of the midweek. This one's an interesting one. I watched the whole game. I got up for it. To be honest, it's disappointing that the scoreline doesn't reflect Celtic's performance because they came at Real Madrid and they made it hard for them. You know, it was such a good performance by them. They came out, they applied pressure, they scared Real Madrid in that first half. There was plenty of chances that we probably should have gone ahead with. I think it was McGregor who hit the post in the first half. And you know, it was Real Madrid had a few chances in the first half, but I feel like Celtic were all on top in that, and the desire that those players came out onto that pitch and gave just showed the fans that they have really, really reflects well. And I think Celtic fans can walk away with that and look at it and go, we actually have a chance in this group stage. If we can do that every week against you know, the other two teams who are in the group, which, oh my God, why I cannot remember. Oh, right, Red Bull Leipzig and Shakhtar Donetsk. I feel like they can expect a lot for it to come out of this group if Celtic can perform like that first half every week. It was just disappointing because it was a lapse of, you know, 5 minutes and all of a sudden we're 2-0 down. And that's how it can happen against Real Madrid. You're against the champions of Europe, one of the best teams in the world, and you have a quiet 5 minutes, you shut off for a split second and you're 2-0 down against them. And you don't know what happened. And I feel like that is exactly what happened with Celtic. I feel like Abada looked nervous. He had a couple of shots early on that he didn't look like the Abada against Rangers. He didn't look like the Abada against Dundee United. And yes, it's a completely different stage, and I understand that. He's young. I think he's 20 years old, but he needs to be capitalizing on those those chances, especially in the Champions League. But other than that, I thought he performed really well. Jota performed, I thought, really, really well as well. He, you know, his pass through to Abada in the first half was, it was out of this world, in behind the defence. Obviously, Abada fluffed his lines with that. And then I've got to give a special mention as well to Rio Hatate. This is the thing. Ange Postecoglou has brought these Japanese lads in Hatate, Maeda, and Kyogo, that no one, I feel like, over here was looking at, and no one really knew of them. And Hatate, his awareness is ridiculous. Like, he was playing that first half, he was playing like he was Luka Modric. Like, obviously he's nowhere near as good as him. Don't get me wrong, he's not anywhere near as good as Luka Modric, but his awareness of where players were and what to do with the ball was, it was incredible in that first half, and it was honestly like a joy to watch him play football. Carter Vickers as well had a really, really good game. Well, for the first half anyway, I thought, you know, he controlled the defensive line really well. along with Jens. It was just I thought it was an overall good performance from Celtic, and yeah, like I said, the stats sort of, you know, the scoreline doesn't reflect the performance, and I can honestly say, like, I was expecting, for Super 6, I put 3-0 to Real Madrid, and, you know, I wasn't expecting a win, and I feel like I wasn't expecting a performance like that, and I'm really, really impressed with how they performed, like, given how shit they were in the Europa League and the Conference League last year, because they really, really just weren't up to it last year in Europe, and, you know, I feel like there's good things to come, and even if there's the Europa League, if they come third, I feel like there is a decent chance that they can get quite far in that this year. You know, Rangers played really well. They I don't know, like they just capitalised on chances. Obviously, Benzema came off injured in the first half. It didn't look good. It looked like he had a bit of a knee problem. But Vinicius Junior, man, that kid is on another level. His ability to get in behind the defence and capitalise on chances is unmatched, I think, in Europe at the minute. Especially, well, for a winger anyway. He's just, yeah, you can't match his ability, not just on the ball, but off the ball as well. His ability to make runs in behind and that kind of thing. But also, like, I just feel like Celtic were lost out, like, with, you know, the Maeda in early on in the second half fluffed his lines, get the ball comes into him 6 yards out, and it hits both feet. It's stuff like that. We've got to capitalize on those chances, but we can come away from that performance and think, you know what, that we've got something here. This team, this, you know, high pressure team. I think Ange is doing something incredible. He's allowing Celtic fans to believe that there's, you know, they have this ability to compete in Europe, and it's honestly great to see. I think it's the Celtic are in one of the best situations they've been in the past few years, especially with Rangers obviously coming back into the Scottish Premier League and then obviously back into Europe and all that kind of thing. And then now this is it, like, the Celtic scoreline and Liverpool scorelines are pretty similar, but Celtic fans can walk away with that and think, you know, we gave a good game. It doesn't reflect how we performed, but Liverpool's really does reflect how they performed in that game. It was awful to watch. Like, I don't know what's going on. There's no pressure from anyone in the midfield when the opposition's on the ball. And they're trying to play this high defensive line and then also play the offside trap, but it's not working because they're not applying pressure. They're not, you know, players have got time to think, they've got time to make the runs, that kind of thing. It's just, it's frustrating. It's really, really frustrating. And Napoli deserved the win. Don't get me wrong, Napoli were incredible. This new kid for them, the Georgian, Kvaratskhelia. Kvaratskhelia, there was a stage in the first half where he picked up the ball and he made Fabinho and Milner look like school children. He did Fabinho twice in this one move, and this kid looks incredible. But we were just really, really off it tonight. It was like Trent is just, defensively, he's really getting found out, and it's so, so hard to watch. Like, just his lack of energy, his lack of pressing towards the ball. Like, going forward, it's fine. Like, we're all right forward, but it's like he's lazy. He doesn't want to get back. He just doesn't put the effort in. And what infuriates me about the Liverpool team, obviously, this may not be Jurgen Klopp's fault. It may be FSG that aren't providing the money. Where's the competition? Calvin Ramsey, yeah, you can bring Calvin Ramsey in, but he's more like one for the future, and also he's injured. He's not providing out-and-out competition for Trent to be playing in the Champions League against these top teams. And we need, like with Robertson, Tsimikas plays pretty similarly to him, and Tsimikas is a very, very good player. so he can provide competition to Robertson if Robertson was to go into a run of poor form. But there is no one who can replace Trent at the minute at Liverpool, and it's hard to see where we're going to get anyone from, especially like the next few months. Like, yeah, you can put Gomez there, but look how he's been playing. He's not with it at all. I think, you know, he's had a couple seasons where he's not really been in the mix, or he's been injured, and I think he's just fallen from the heights that he was at a couple of years ago at Liverpool. Van Dijk as well looked like he lacked energy. The team lacked energy. They're just no desire to win the ball from anyone, and it was really, really tough to watch. Like, the only person I've got to give credit to in that game was Alisson. That game probably could have been 6 or 7 if it wasn't for Alisson, like his penalty save and that kind of thing. He made some decent saves throughout the game, and he's the one man on that pitch who gave everything. But the scoreline really does reflect Liverpool's performance. Like, Napoli, they really look like a strong side. Like, under Spalletti, he's bringing in this obviously like a sort of false nine back, and they're scary to go against. Like, the pressure that they're putting when they've got the ball, like, everyone's getting forward, and they're very like pass and go, and it's quite, you know, as a fan, you're nervous playing against them. You're nervous because you think, shit, these could get a couple of it, and which they did, and they probably should have had they should have had a few more. Zambo and Gisa looked very, very good in the midfield for them, holding it up well. Obviously got himself a goal. Zielinski bagged the penalty and then got the rebound that he got. And then Osimhen, oh my God. That lad is on another level. He is he's a number nine that you want in your team. I think he could, at the minute, other than at City, because of Haaland, Osimhen could probably get into any side as a number nine in Europe. Honestly, this lad's next level. But Kvaratskhelia, he was playing at Rubin Kazan in Russia, and obviously his contract was terminated due to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and he went back to the Georgian League, and there's been a bit of a upheaval of his career due to the Russian invasion, and he's gone to a lesser league in Georgia. And even then, like, 9 million looks like a steal for this lad. He looks like he's been playing in La Masia. He, honestly, his ability to control the ball, he's agile, he's very, very aware of where his teammates are, he knows where obviously opposition players are coming from, he's very, very quick as well. Like, and his finishing is, like, I've watched a few of his highlights, and his finishing is on another level. And I think Napoli deserve all the credits in this game. But yeah, Liverpool just not on it whatsoever. And it was really, really, it was just frustrating to watch. Really, really was. And then next, we'll go on to Tottenham Marseille. Now, Tottenham fans are probably absolutely buzzing off this, but even being honest, after seeing the game, they've got nothing to be shouting about. They won 2-0, but I feel like that was only a result of Marseille going down to 10 men and struggling, because before that, it was a pretty even game. Obviously, Richarlison bagged his first two goals for Spurs. Didn't look as much of a tit as he did at the weekend, you know, taking his top off and that. But yeah, Tottenham didn't look out and out good. And I think that's what they've done this year, though. Like, they're not giving standout performances, but they're just getting the result. And fair play to Antonio Conte for, you know, getting these results with this team. But, like, they had two shots on target, two goals, that was it. And pretty even in possession, passes, pass accuracy between the two teams. You know, you couldn't have differentiated the two until Mbemba got sent off earlier in the second half. And that was what ruined the game for Marseille. And I think also what hindered Marseille was the fact that Alexis Sanchez was still suspended from being sent off for Inter Milan last season. Which it makes no sense, because You could get three yellow cards and you'd miss the next game of a Champions League season, but next season it wouldn't matter. But here, if you get a red card, he's even moved clubs, the red card still stands for next season. I think if they'd had him in the side, I think they would have done a lot better than what they did tonight, and they would have probably capitalized on more chances. But saying that, Spurs, they look consistent for the first time in years, and Spurs fans can probably have something. They're obviously building something, and the players are buying into what Conte is bringing to the squad. And I'm all for seeing them do well in Europe and stuff. But I don't think they're going to be winning anything. I think they'll probably qualify for the Champions League again next year. But it's a process. We can't be expecting them to be winning like Champions Leagues, FA Cups at this point. I just think aiming for a top four and maybe a League Cup if, the luck of the draw goes our way and say City get knocked out early, I think they can maybe aim for something like that. But yeah, 2-0 to Spurs, getting off to a good start in the Champions League, so fair play to them. And then next, Ajax versus Rangers. This was a surprise to wake up to this morning. 4-0 to Ajax. Edson Álvarez, Bergwijn, four different players bagging goals. Like, I don't know, Rangers just by I haven't seen it, but the stats, they just look off it. 17 shots for Ajax compared to Rangers 4, 9 compared to 1 on target, 76% possession compared to Rangers 24, and Ajax quadrupled nearly Rangers passes. While also Ajax had a 92% compared to Rangers 77% passing accuracy. Like, Ajax must have been on another level in this game. And for Giovanni van Bronckhorst at the end was like, he said how these players need to realize that this is the Champions League, this is the best competition in the world. And by the looks of it looks like these players have just, they've walked into it like it's an SPFL game against Dundee United. Like, I think they've got a big, big shot coming if they continue the way they are in the Champions League. But got to give props to Ajax. Like, they've sold all their best players nearly, obviously bar a few like Edson Álvarez. They've managed to hold on to him. They've obviously still got Dusan Tadic, Steven Bergwijn they brought in, but they sold a lot of their very best players, and still, they just managed to bring through these youngsters who do very, very well. But it's also interesting that Calvin Bassey played against his former side and obviously got on the better end of this very, very good result for them. But yeah, there's a few different players in this side where you just don't really you've never really heard of them, and they come out of nowhere, and it's quite interesting to see Ajax do well again, because I think last year obviously they struggled in Europe a bit. But yeah, you can't fault them. I think Rangers have obviously got to go back to the drawing board. It's going to be interesting to see if Morelos is going to get back in the side anytime soon, because obviously he was on the bench but didn't play, and coming after the disciplinary issues where he was left out of the PSV games because apparently he was severely overweight coming back into pre-season and just not match fit whatsoever. I think it'll be interesting to see whether he can get back into this Rangers side and start getting goals for them again, because I just think since that sending off the other week, he's just not I feel like he's just really, really fallen out of favor. I think they've become fed up more than anything with him. Because I think he's got the most red cards for Rangers in their history, which is, he's been at the club a few years. It's insane to think that that's just one, like, you can do that in a couple of years kind of thing. And then obviously, Chelsea lose 1-0 to Dynamo Zagreb. Honestly, it was a very, very good goal, but Fofana just, he wasn't with it with that. Like, he was very slow off the mark when the ball was played through. He was always like two, 3 yards behind. Like, it's from what I've seen of the game, Fofana just he didn't look settled in that squad was the best way to describe it. And it looked like Chelsea played really, really slow, really boring football. And I think that was to obviously their downfall. But it even resulted in Thomas Tuchel getting the sack. And to sack Thomas Tuchel after winning the Champions League, getting to the FA Cup and the League Cup final, to lose out to Liverpool, who were last season were very, very good throughout the entire season, very consistent. You know, to come in, being Todd Boehly, and go, spend all this money and bring in players you want. So he's gone, I want to sign Aubameyang, and Todd Boehly's gone, okay. And he signed him because he has that relationship with him, and then to sack him after this player's had 59 minutes of football under him. It makes zero, like, it's such a bad decision from Todd Boehly. You can tell that this consortium who have bought Chelsea don't really have any idea when it comes to running a football club. And I feel like it's probably for the best for Thomas Tuchel to be gone now, because he obviously won't have to deal with these issues. But I think it's one of those, these Chelsea players need time to gel, and Thomas Tuchel's not been given this time to make that work. You know, you're bringing in loads of players. You're bringing in Fofana, Koulibaly, Sterling, Cucurella, you know, all these different players you're bringing in, Aubameyang, and you've not even given him 5 minutes to work together properly. And I just think it's a very, very poor decision. Like, Tuchel's got a 60% win rate for Chelsea, 100 games as manager, 60 wins, and it was only, like, I think it was 14 losses throughout his tenure. And I don't know, where do they go from here? Obviously, they can bring in Graham Potter, but I think if you're Graham Potter, you do not take this job. You do not take it, because you look at how they've just treated Thomas Tuchel, who I think is one, like, he's done an amazing job at Chelsea. But, you know, you win a club the Champions League, you've done a very, very good job. It's end of conversation. You can't, and he, it wasn't even like he was having a bad season. He just had, it was like 3 or 4 losses and just a poor run of results. And I just think it's too early to be sacking someone for that. And then you hear, like, Todd Boehly was, the relationship went downhill because Tuchel wouldn't sign Ronaldo. And for good reason. Ronaldo, from what we've heard, is a marred arse. He causes problems in the dressing room when things don't go his way. He expects everything to go his way. So why would you blame a man for not bringing a player like Ronaldo in? And yes, you like the look of Ronaldo and you like what he could maybe do for your club, but at the end of the day, you hire the manager to deal with the football side of things, to deal with the games, deal with the players. Don't be getting involved in something where you don't know anything about it. Like, it makes, to me, it makes zero sense. And I think this, the way it's going, they need to realise, they need to step away from that and bring in people who can do these jobs. And as an owner, just sit back and allow them to do it and expect the results. That is it. Don't be invasive on the squad and the manager and the decision making that's being done. I just think it's wrong what has happened at Chelsea. And Graham Potter should really think about whether or not he should take this job, because yes, you're walking into a squad that's decent, but when you've got owners like that, where they're just mimicking what Abramovich has done for the past 20 years, it's one of those you've really got to take with a pinch of salt and think, is it worth me stepping away from a job that is very, very secure right now into a very irate environment where you could lose your job in 2 weeks? It's not, for me, it's not something that you should even consider. But obviously, I'm not Graham Potter. I don't know his situation. But yeah, they obviously lost 1-0. Not a good start. And then City. Oh my God, Erling Haaland again. It's 12 goals in 7 games. Like, it's really good to watch Haaland. Like, it's fascinating because he's always in the right place for a goal. Always in the right place. And they just look so, so dominant, City do. You know, with the 62% possession, 24 shots on goal, 10 on target. They're just looking very, very dominant. And it seems like there's less change within the squad now. There's less, you know, like, for example, in fantasy football last year, you couldn't really have any City players in because you'd never know. All of a sudden, one game, players would just be out and you'd be like, what's going on? But Akanji made his debut. Gomez got his first start and they both looked very, very good. They looked very solid at the back. as a back four, they look really, really good. João Cancelo, he's, you know, we already know he's on another level, but I think Gomez has got a lot to learn still. You know, coming over from Belgium, and Akanji is obviously very experienced, being at Dortmund for a few years, and it's going to be interesting to see how he fits in this side with obviously the likes of John Stones, who is injured at the minute. Yeah, but with along with Ruben Dias, Nathan Ake, all these players at the back. Yeah, nice 4-0 victory for them. And then, you know, the other games, Bayern beat Inter 2-0. Not much to say on that. It was kind of expected. Second goal from Bayern, the play in for that goal was, oh, it was naughty. That, like, Leroy Sané goes for the finish, obviously comes off the defender. But at the end of the day, the play into that goal was just, oh, it was on another level. So 2-0 to Bayern against Inter. Shakhtar Donetsk, oh my God. I think everyone wrote them off for this because we know, like, obviously their season was scrapped last year. The way the season's being held this year, like with all the, obviously, bomb shelter drills and all that kind of thing, you wonder how they're going to do, especially in the Champions League. Like, their home games are being played in Warsaw in the Champions League. I think to come out and give a 4-1, like a performance like that, to get a 4-1 win, is just, like, props to them. You can't knock them for it. But Red Bull Leipzig looked off it. Obviously, the manager was sacked the next day along with Thomas Tuchel. But yeah, you know, they didn't really look with it. And Nkunku didn't really get much. Timo Werner looked off it. Looked like a Timo Werner of Chelsea. They weren't with it, really. It was a pretty poor performance from them. And then, yeah, moving on, Rebel Salzburg get a 1-1 draw at Milan. Like, it's a decent result for them. Obviously, Milan probably expecting more in that game. Benfica 2-0 to Maccabi Haifa. Dortmund beating Copenhagen 3-0. That was a... Jude Bellingham looks like an absolute baller. And every time you see him play, he looks like he's getting better and better. And if Liverpool sign him next year, oh my God. That guy's going to be running in midfield. Seriously, is. This kid's on another level, you know. And yeah, the Yusufa Makoko, I don't know. Yeah, he gets a few minutes in the game. They look confident. Obviously, we're not expecting anything from Copenhagen, but Dortmund, we know, can be a bit here and there in the Champions League, and they looked confident, which is good. PSG beat Juventus 2-1. That was a good game to watch, to be fair. Kylian Mbappe getting two goals and Weston McKennie getting one for Juventus. But yeah, Mbappe, just I can't get my head around him. He's just too greedy on the ball. Like, there was one, I think it was for his hat trick, he was running in, and the better option would be to play the ball across the box to Neymar, who's running in behind the defence, and he goes for goal and doesn't even get it on target. Neymar's obviously fuming, but I feel like Mbappe's just he's a one-man team. He doesn't care about who else is on the pitch, doesn't care if anyone else is near him. He's always going to go for goal, and it's not necessarily a bad habit, but I think when you've got the likes of Neymar and Messi around you, you can't be doing that. You can't be expecting to be the main man when these two proven players or playing either side of you. It's just, I feel like you've got to be utilising them. Juventus, obviously, they're not looking the best at the minute. They look like they are struggling a little bit. You know, I think it's 2 wins and 3 draws in the league. I wasn't expecting them to win. I feel like they're looking a bit lost, looking like they're in a bit of a transition period, trying to figure out what's working for them and how they're going to function like the Juventus of old. But it's going to be one of those where it's going to take a bit of time, maybe a couple seasons and a few signings to get there. Atletico Madrid, with this one, it's like, you know, three 90-minute plus stoppage goals, you know, 91st, 96th and 101st minute of the game. And Griezmann, his treatment is, I think it's pretty poor, to obviously it's within this contract stipulation that if he plays more than a certain amount of minutes throughout the season, then Atletico have to pay 40 million for him. But to be bringing him on dead on with 30 minutes to go is like, you're just mugging the guy off at this point. Like, I think they need to be getting into negotiations with Barcelona to lower a fee, and because you're sort of hindering this guy's career at his peak, you know. Yeah, he's had a rough couple of years, but he's still a very, very good player, and I think he deserves a lot better than the way he's being treated. And there's definitely a better way to go about the situation. And I just think when you're putting stipulations in this contract and agreeing to them, it's not, you know, you're not going to want to do them. It's like, it's kind of like the Dele Alli situation where they go, oh, if he plays 20 games, you pay us 10 million. He was never going to make it to 20 games if his performances weren't out of this world, which they never were going to be. So you should always, I feel like these sort of stipulations should really not be put into these contracts. Like, it's just ruining players' careers, if I'm being honest. Then in the other results, Barcelona, 5-1 win. You know, Lewandowski getting a hat-trick in there. He's looking very, very good. And yeah, Benfica, obviously we said Benfica, Sporting beating Eintracht Frankfurt 3-0, and Club Brugge getting a result against Bayer Leverkusen, which they were probably unlucky. Obviously, the semi-automated VAR made a decision for an offside on Schick for his goal for Leverkusen, but semi-automated VAR is looking very, very good. Decisions are made within a few seconds. This is fed back to the referee, and it's so much better than the VAR we're using in the Premier League. Obviously, we're going to have to see how it works throughout the season, but this could be the way forward. It's looking very, very good. I'm interested to see if it's going to work every single time. Yeah, it's looking like a good system. It was obviously used in a Chelsea game as well, and it's seeing the fine margins, but you can see the fine margins clearly in this, whereas in the VAR we're using in the Premier League, these fine margins, you can't really tell whether it's on or off, whereas this is like, it's differentially saying yes or no, this is offside, or yes, it is onside. And it's really good to see it being used like that, and the decision is not really being made by, you know, the man in the room, wherever he is at Stockley Park. It's being made by the computer, based on what it sees. It's yes or no fact, and it's really, really good how it's being used. But obviously, there's room for improvement in anything, and it's going to take years to get VAR back to where it should be and where we want it to be. But yeah. It's been a decent midweek bunch of fixtures. Obviously, United and Arsenal are playing tonight. So it's going to be interesting to see how everything goes. Obviously, tomorrow I'm going to do a podcast tomorrow on the upcoming Premier League fixtures and what I have changed in Fantasy 40, because doing shit, not going to lie. Really, really shit in the Fantasy 40. But yeah, it's been a decent podcast. Thank you for listening to the Stoppage Time podcast again. And make sure to give us a follow on Instagram at stoppagetime.pod, and then also a follow on Twitter, which is @podstoppagetime. Thank you very much for listening, and see you in the next one.